We are here at the World Food Prize Symposium and just heard a great panel on increasing productivity and in order to feed the growing population. With me is Dr. Robert Thompson, Bob Thompson, and he's with Johns Hopkins University.
No.
I'm sure you've had a long and distinguished career. And you talked on the panel just a little bit about some of the factors that we have to consider in increasing productivity in the years to come. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, we've got to do something close to doubling food production in the world in the next 40 years, but there's only 10% more land that's not presently forested or subject to erosion and desertification. If we try to double production by doubling the number of acres of land in production, we have a massive destruction of forests, we'll lose wildlife habitat, we'll lose biodiversity, lose carbon sequestration capacity, all unacceptable environmental outcomes. So we've got to raise productivity. It's the only sustainable future way of feeding the world better than today at reasonable cost is if we do raise productivity. The other point I made was that we really need to break down barriers to international trade. East and South Asia have more than twice as much of the world's population than of the arable land. And there's no scenario I can construe in which their growth and demand is not going to outstrip their supply capacity. They've got all their land already in production. They're working on raising productivity, but they can't raise it fast enough. So we need to reduce barriers to international agricultural trade so that those countries that have no hope of feeding themselves are able to take advantage of free movement of product through the international markets.
Well, when you talk about barriers, since the focus here was on animal protein, we have seen quite a bit of barriers to beef, to pork, especially from the Asian countries, and they seem to be artificial, phytosanitary-type barriers. How do you address those?
Well, we desperately need harmonization of standards across countries. The Codex Alimentarius is probably the principal forum for negotiating that harmonization. I think there have been some good successes lately of developing countries standing tall in supporting modern, technology-based, high-productivity agriculture and the inputs that it's going to take to achieve that high productivity in animal agriculture as well as plant agriculture. So I think we're making some progress there, but we really need to hang tough in the WTO that if there is not a good, solid foundation in credible science for a sanitary or phytosanitary barrier, we got WTO's got to throw the book at the companies or at the countries that are abusing that excuse for imposing protectionism.
And two of the worst offenders, I guess I will call them, have been Japan and Korea. Do you see maybe China following that example or India?
Well, those countries and most countries in East and South Asia are going to need imports. I think the biggest question mark in China is to what extent are they going to try to produce the animal protein domestically and to what extent are they going to be dependent on imports of feed grains and protein meals with which to feed those livestock. If they decide to go producing their own animal protein, then I don't think it should be totally surprising if they use some sanitary measures to protect that domestic industry. India is a huge question mark. They're such a closed economy that I think we're quite a ways from being ready to have to worry too much about getting animal protein into India. They're going to need it some point, but that's still in the future.
All right. Thank you very much. Here at the World Food Prize, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.